Welcome back. It's a Thursday, the 4th day of August, 2022. I'm your host, Mark Hall. Let me start off today with a confession. I looked at all the news that's out there today and honestly didn't find a single story that was even remotely surprising. Now, that's not to say that there wasn't news or stories that are worth reporting. It's just that none of them were even remotely eyebrow-raising when it came to things that, oh yeah, we've heard before or we fully expected were going to happen. Some of the most important arguably aren't getting any waste stream coverage. We'll come back to a couple of those in a few minutes. Most of the stories that I saw from the major waste stream sources were either celebrity smokescreens or outright propaganda. And it was so bad I even went to the New York Times front page. And that was a mistake because it was just simply downright disgusting. Do people really read that crap and actually believe it? Anyway, let's start with at least one or two of the stories that should be cause for concern, but hey, we've heard them before. I guess you could say, like during the Clinton regime, people have been inoculated against any actual concern for little trivialities like World War III. Here's a Daily Mail headline. Chinese missiles have landed in Japan's waters after warnings that a miscalculation during their Taiwan military drill could in fact spark a war. And an outraged Tokyo has lodged a complaint over Beijing's live fire maneuvers after five missiles fired towards Taiwan have overshot the island, as intended, and landed in Japanese waters. In what's called Japan's exclusive economic zone, said their defense minister today. I guess you could say baby steps, folks. Pushing the envelope, a little bit more this time, now that they've been given the perfect excuse by the nutcase puppets in Washington. China has fired ballistic missiles at its neighbor before, says the Daily Mail coverage, but this is the first time they've actually landed in the Japanese zone. Beijing also scrambled fighter jets, it says, and sent some of its most up-to-date warships to surround the island in what state media confirmed is a rehearsal for an invasion. The drills are due to last until at least Sunday and are said to include long-range bombers and hypersonic missiles, as well as a couple of nearby Chinese aircraft carriers. The still open question, of course, is, well, what comes next? One thing's for sure, the entire world knows that the senile basket case vegetating the Oval Office is incapable of doing anything regardless of what happens next. You gotta say it, at least Nero could play the fiddle. Here's a still developing story that's interesting, certainly disgusting, and no, not the least bit surprising. Coming out of the primary season, where several more states held primary elections on Tuesday, most of the results are out, and in general, Trump-endorsed candidates seem to have won big time. Which clearly upsets both the rhinos and the waste stream. Here's a piece from ABC News headlined, Trump's candidates celebrate after, in this case, the Arizona primary and some wins there. But some Republicans, they say, are worried. And they'll never use the term rhino openly. The ABC piece, perhaps not surprisingly, is focused on the fact that Kerry Lake, the true constitutional conservative in the GOP gubernatorial race, went ahead in the polls and then claimed victory on Wednesday, as other state candidates backed by the former president also celebrated wins down the ballot. Lake has been outspoken about obvious evidence of rigging, particularly in Arizona, the 2020 election. She's warned about it here, and in fact, ABC quotes her as saying, we outvoted the fraud. The MAGA movement voted like their lives depended on it. And then asked whether she should be declaring victory before the race has been officially called, and you know darn well they're not gonna officially call it, regardless of how much of an actual lead she has. There's a problem, we'll come back to that. And this is an election, they note, that she's already suggested needs to be investigated. A smiling Lake said her team was projecting a wide lead to come, so she was confident in calling the race for herself. Frankly, she said, I'm going to be having dinner with my husband tonight, Wednesday night. I don't want anybody to call me and ask me for a comment. So we're doing this a bit early, because I actually want to take one night off. And she said, I haven't had a night off for a long time. Still, though, it says, Lake also continued to allege irregularities in the primary process, citing the shortage of paper ballots in Pinal County, where officials claimed there was, quote, an unprecedented demand for in-person ballots in certain precincts. We've had major issues, she said. We have a lot of evidence of irregularities and problems, and we're going to address those. And she added that in the run-up to the general election come November, she'll continue talking about the widely disproven claim, that's ABC's comment, folks, it's not the truth, that the 2020 election was stolen from President Trump. Well, so far, no surprises, folks, so where's the thing we could have seen coming? Let's turn to the Gateway Pundit for that aspect of it, because you're probably not going to hear it on the three-letter so-called news agencies. Exclusive, they say, this is from Joe Hoft, reporting issues have been identified in the middle of the night. Hey, have we ever heard that before? And no, you won't hear it from ABC. In GOP governor's race in Arizona, another election reporting issue, they say this time in the results of the Arizona GOP governor's race. After finding herself behind, and some of us would suggest that the sampling type polls prior to the election were just setting people up for what the electronically manipulated polls, supposedly during the real election, would show later. Despite being way ahead in polling leading up to the election, GOP governor candidate Carrie Lake finally burst into the lead after midnight. And you can probably guess, if you've been paying attention, what happened right after that. In the middle of the night? Yeah, it happened again. At 2:40 a.m. Central Time, NBC News was reporting that Rhino candidate Karen Robson was in the lead with 46.4% of the vote, just over 258,000 votes to Carrie Lake's 43.5%, just over 242,000 votes. That would be 12:40 a.m. Phoenix Time. And then, in the very next minute, at 2:42 a.m., at 12:42 a.m. Arizona time, the vote changed, and Carrie Lake jumped into the lead with 45.2% of the vote to Robson's 45.1% of the vote. And note then, at least at the time, NBC News reported that 99% of the expected votes had been in and counted. Percentage of total votes didn't change, but the overall votes did. Another oddity, says TGP, is that the county votes didn't change at this time. They agreed with the totals from moments earlier, so that's a bit fishy. Later on Wednesday, just shy of 5 p.m. Eastern time, the results still weren't counted. And, says the TGP update, the election results in Arizona haven't been updated since at least 7 a.m. Wednesday morning. Carrie Lake had come roaring back in her race on Tuesday from a 10-point deficit, and at that point led the Republican primary for governor by about 12,000 votes. Meanwhile, Trump-endorsed candidate Blake Masters won his race for the GOP primary for the U.S. Senate in Arizona by 62,000 votes. And notes the piece, in France, they can count 30 million paper ballots and release the results by 8 p.m. that same night, whereas the Secretary of State in Arizona, the infamous Katie Hobbs, can't count 3 million votes by electronic machine in 36 hours. Or maybe, folks, the problem is they can count them, they just didn't like the answer. Anyway, she was doing TV hits this morning, says Hoft, as the election results stalled out for a number of hours, which makes you want to ask the question, hey, what kind of fraud is she cooking up this time around? 12 hours later, basically nothing has changed, and Maricopa County said maybe they'll release their vote counts by 7 p.m. Wednesday night. Well, by 8:35 a.m. Thursday morning, not so much. Jim Hoff's headline this time around says voters in Maricopa County now reporting their votes were thrown out and didn't count. Something stinks, he writes, bad. And as they reported earlier, Maricopa County, and haven't we seen this before, finally released another ballot count shortly after 7 p.m. Wednesday evening, promising more results Thursday, ready, after 7 p.m. This is outrageous, he writes. The polls closed Tuesday at 7 p.m., and they're still counting? We call bullshit. They were late. TGP has already reported they had not updated the results on their webpage after claiming they would. And here we are into Thursday, still at least allegedly counting. So you do have to ask the question, just what the hell is going on? Election Day has already revealed, not for the first time, mind you, major concerns and possible fraud in a system that already looked like it was rigged to high heaven. They stopped the counting, notes the story, immediately after Trump-endorsed Carrie Lake pulled ahead from a 10-point deficit and at least appeared to be still climbing. And now Republican voters are tweeting out that maybe, just maybe, and they've got the evidence, their vote has been nullified and erased. John Rhodes was one of those who tweeted, "Anyone else in Maricopa County having this issue?" The claim is that his signature for early ballot has been verified, but as you can see, my vote didn't count. It was dropped on Election Day at the voting location. And he encourages others to check your ballot and gives the voting tracking website. He was not alone. Another has claimed his vote, too, according to the website, didn't count and was erased. Isn't it funny, folks? The same people that say every ballot should count, well, every ballot should count as long as we want it to, are the ones who've been telling you, my body, my choice, except for it turns out it's not your choice because they can grope it and poke it and disarm it and starve it. And I'll say it again, folks, if election integrity was the issue, and it sure ought to have been, we certainly saw this one coming. From there, let's turn to at least a couple of potentially promising developments in the way of fighting back against the flood of evil. This one's being reported by the Daily Mail in addition to the Gateway Pundit and hopefully others. Ron DeSantis, Florida governor, has suspended the Soros-funded, and they actually put that in quotes in the Daily Mail headline, Democrat Florida prosecutor, Andrew Warren for, as the governor put it, ignoring the law and refusing to prosecute cases violating their 15-week abortion ban and sex changes foisted on children. Said the governor, the state attorney for this judicial circuit, Andrew Warren, has publicly put himself above the law, he said during a press conference on the Soros prosecutor's home turf. In June 2021, he signed a letter saying he would not enforce any prohibitions on sex change operations for minor. He also signed a letter saying he wouldn't enforce any laws relating to the protection of the right to life in the state of Florida, knowing that Florida was among the states to limit abortion access amid the fallout over Roe v. Wade having been overturned. Evidently referring to the flood of Soros lawlessness, and the Daily Mail actually does include this tidbit, that Warren beat a Republican incumbent for this office in 2016 in a campaign that the New York Times reported was in fact funded in part by billionaire fascist George Soros. They didn't put the word fascist in there, but you know it should be. The governor said, quote, we're not going to allow this pathogen that's been around the country of ignoring the law, and we're not going to let that get a foothold here in the state of Florida. And he's ordered a statewide review of prosecutors to, quote, make sure that we're not going down the road of San Francisco. And he found that among those, Warren stood out alone. He was the only one, said the governor, making those types of declarations, the only one signing his name to letters that basically said, to hell with the people of Florida, I'm going to do what I want, unquote. And perhaps no surprise, the Gateway Pundit's coverage includes a lot more detail on what DeSantis actually said. But to their credit, the Daily Mail does include the full video of the announcement, like this, quote, we've seen across this country over the last few years, individual prosecutors take it upon themselves to determine which laws they like and will enforce, and which laws they don't like and won't enforce. The result of this in cities like Los Angeles and San Francisco has been catastrophic. You can go in a store in San Francisco and steal a certain amount of merchandise, and by definition, you would not be prosecuted. And he continued, those who say this represents social justice, look at San Francisco. They had to recall this prosecutor who was funded by people like George Soros, saying he's not going to prosecute. They did the recall election, and he was recalled, even in a very liberal jurisdiction. But the places that voted to keep him were the affluent communities who are not bearing the brunt of his policies. The places that voted to recall him are the working class communities because they bear the burden of ignorance and refusal to enforce the law. Unquote. Senator Rand Paul of Kentucky is again at the forefront of efforts to actually hold some of the most evil people on planet Earth, like Tony Fauci, to account. As the Washington Examiner reported on August 3rd, Senator Paul, ranking member of the Subcommittee on Emerging Threats and Spending Oversight, is leading the first congressional hearing on gain-of-function research, an important matter that many so-called Democrats have largely ignored, given the significance of the COVID-19 pandemic and, of course, the desire of so many of their major puppet masters to, gain-of-function a whole hell of a lot of people right off planet Earth. The press release for the committee stated that gain-of-function research has historically been supported by tax dollars, both domestically and internationally. As such, this hearing lies at the intersection of the subcommittee's two primary jurisdictional responsibilities, monitoring emerging threats and conducting oversight of federal spending. And the goal of the hearings was to have medical and scientific professionals to, quote, inform and educate lawmakers and the public on the myriad issues involving the risky virus-enhancing research that is funded by taxpayer money, unquote. And appearing on Fox News Wednesday evening to discuss that first-ever Senate hearing on gain-of-function research, Senator Paul revealed that there actually is a committee that's supposed to oversee such experimentation with potentially lethal viruses, but that it is above the oversight of Congress. And here's another one of those, duh, gee, tell me something I didn't know statements. Paul noted that according to scientists who testified on Capitol Hill Wednesday, the committee that's supposed to review these viruses is secret. We don't know the names, we don't know that they ever meet, and we don't have any record of their meetings, said the senator, adding, it's top secret. Congress is not allowed to know. So whether the committee actually exists, we're uncertain. We do know, he continued, they've met three times, and there are thousands of gain-of-function research proposals. Yet they've only met three times, they've only reviewed three projects, said Senator Paul. Three scientists testified during the hearing, including Dr. Richard Ebright, lab director of the Waksman Institute of Microbiology at Rutgers, Kevin Esvelt, Assistant Professor of Media Arts and Scientists at MIT's Media Lab, and Dr. Stephen Quay, CEO of Atossa Therapeutics Incorporated. And, said Dr. Paul, the three scientists agreed this was dangerous research. Two of the three absolutely said it was gain of function. The third said it was dangerous research and should have gone before a committee. Then he added that when you-know-who, and the only doctor that this guy deserves on his title, folks, should be associated with the name Mengele, when Fauci said, quote, oh, we've reviewed this and the experts have looked at this and said it's not gain of function, even that wasn't true, said Senator Paul. There was a committee formed after 2017 to look at this dangerous research. They didn't look at this research at all because they never reviewed it. So no one reviewed this to say it wasn't gain of function research. They didn't review it, period. So he said, we've learned a lot of things, but I think we've reconfirmed that Dr. Fauci is not being honest with us, unquote. And how's that, folks, for a senatorial understatement? Yeah, he said, the NIH funded gain of function research. Yes, it was dangerous. And yes, nobody looked over this. And yes, oh yeah, a million people died. There still seems to be a significant lack of curiosity, said Senator Paul, on the part of the Democrats. Now, there's at least one very interesting additional set of comments that came out of this hearing. Dr. Quay outlined, the idea of the COVID bioweapon originating in a Wuhan wet market is highly unlikely, saying that there's, quote, no dispositive evidence that the pandemic began there, adding, all evidence is consistent with a laboratory-acquired infection. Well, that was pretty much a given. But he added this, the virus has three genomic regions that have the signature of synthetic biology, that is, gain-of-function research. In his opening statement, he said, one region has features of the two types of forbidden gain-of-function research that are associated with bioweapons development, asymptomatic transmission and immune system evasion, unquote. And see if that doesn't help to at least clarify things that arguably have been obvious for quite a while now. Liberal but honest constitutional law professor Jonathan Turley is at it again. In his latest column for Fox News, he wrote about the Hunter Biden investigation, SICK, and how it presents a challenge for many in Washington. Due to the continued work of a small number of media outlets like the New York Post, it's no longer possible, he said, to bury the story or to continue the false claim that it is Russia, Russia, Russian disinformation. The hope, he said, then now appears to be a controlled demolition, where Hunter, but not his senile daddy, the big guy, is indicted on limited grounds without causing collateral damage to the political and media establishment. Scandal implosion, he calls it, and said it's as much an art as it is a science, and it could be the most brilliant achievement in this ongoing scandal. For news junkies, he begins, there's been a remarkable and sudden shift in the media in the coverage of the Hunter Biden scandal. The shift is the very fact that there is suddenly coverage of Hunter Biden at all. From CNN to NPR, reporters are now acknowledging that the infamous laptop is not, what they claimed for so long, Russia, Russia, Russian disinformation, as he said was widely claimed before the 2020 election. So after years of burying the story, the media is now attempting an even more precarious exercise. Yes, it's called controlled demolition, the implosion of a scandal to limit any blast effect on nearby structures or individuals. Just like those buildings drop between other structures, it takes precision and, most importantly, cooperation to pull it off. Specifically, this controlled demolition will require the perfect timing of the media, Democratic politicians, and, most importantly, the Department of misnomer galore, Justice, or the Just Us Department, and that has never rung more true, folks. This was the same alliance, he noted, that successfully killed the story before the election, despite evidence of a multi-million dollar influence peddling scheme by the Biden crime family. The media eagerly spread the false claim of 51 so-called intelligence experts who declared that the laptop was likely Russian disinformation. Twitter and other socialist media companies, he didn't spell that one right, imposed a news blackout before the election. Recently, though, GOP senators have accused the Department of Justice of effectively spiking the investigation, displaying the same kind of bias documented in the Russia, Russia, Russia collusion investigation. And yes, for his part, Attorney General, and I'll put this word in here, the evil Merrick Garland has refused to appoint a special counsel, despite the overwhelming obvious need for such an appointment. Even former Attorney General, himself no paragon of virtue, Bill Barr, recently said that new evidence makes such an appointment essential. Professor Turley noted he's written before about the marvel of watching the Biden family and their scandals vanish before the 2020 election. It was like Houdini making a 10,000-pound elephant, Jenny, disappear during his act. But now the problem is the entire public can see the elephant in the room, which is why the media is now recalibrating, he said. It was most evident in the recent statement of the New York Times and columnist Thomas Friedman that, quote, "I know the New York Times felt it didn't pursue originally as much as it wanted to, and then it followed up," he said, as I recall. But the trouble is, Friedman doesn't explain what overrode that journalistic interest in the story or why the follow-up came a full year after the election of the senile cretin Joe Biden. And yeah, I put those words in there too. Maybe the reason is obvious. It seems that the man masquerading as president is no longer seen as a political asset, and most Democrats are refusing to publicly support him in a re-election bid if he's able to even drool at that point. And the problem is compounded by the fact that embarrassing evidence mounts day by day. Things like new disclosures by Hunter referencing his big daddy and the fact that he has access to him. Some emails show Hunter using business trips with daddy to arrange meetings with business associates. And that cringeworthy email, says Professor Turley, only adds to the embarrassment not only of Hunter Biden, but the media trying to control the damage from the scandal. Yet, they could ensure that none of that would be the focus of the coverage if the case can be ended on narrow criminal charges and basically made to disappear. The most important thing, says Jonathan Turley, is to control the blast. And by refusing to appoint a special counsel, Merrick Garland has effectively blocked the risk of a report on the extensive influence peddling, including repeated references to Biden as the big guy discussed in emails and the potential recipient of the 10% cut on a deal with that Chinese energy firm as well as other bennies.
But that's not what's worrying me. It's how to do it. These things must be done delicately, or you hurt the staff.
How to do it? Well, maybe the case can be collapsed by triggering a smaller explosion. Rather than pursue wider conspiracies connected to the influence peddling itself, Hunter can be indicted on a few tax or lobbying counts. That would allow for a plea bargain that would effectively allow the media to focus narrowly on those counts alone and not on the broader and far more pervasive influence peddling by the Biden crime family. Of course, controlled demolitions can at times take an unexpected turn. The greatest danger seems to be that either House of Congress, especially if they can't contain the midterms, could flip to GOP control, which would open up the entire matter to congressional investigation. Yet, if they've been able to get a plea in place that would already close the case, the legal blowback could be confined. Yep, the key to political controlled demolitions is to implode the building, that is, make it collapse down into its own footprint, which is now Hunter Biden. Captain, we need to have a controlled implosion of the warp drive. And the idea is to confine the implosion to him, while leaving the media and the establishment, which basically is redundant anyway, all untouched. Finally, I would have left this one out, but actually we do have time today. So let's talk about stupidity that seems to know no bounds.
To infinity and beyond!
Now, the marionette in chief may be senile, but Karine Jean-Pierre, the press secretary who makes incompetence look like an art form, has truly even outdone herself this time. And I guess all I can say is take a listen. Oh yeah, and since it may not be obvious what the heck she's talking about, it is in fact your body, my choice, or the Satan-given right to kill babies in the womb. They do it later, obviously, with impunity.
From day one, when the Supreme Court made this extreme decision to take away a constitutional right, it was an unconstitutional action by them, a right that was around for almost 50 years, a right that women had to make a decision on their bodies and how they want to start their families.
That's a stupid way to say it.
Yeah, I know. If they take enough of the Biden booster shots, hey, they worked real well for him, obviously, they probably won't ever have to worry about starting a family. Or, for that matter, even whether or not they get a federal travel subsidy to kill babies in the womb. But you do have to admit, it really is funny to hear these people talk about something being unconstitutional, especially when it's not even remotely in there anyway, as if that actually mattered. So where does that leave us today? Well, honestly, like I said up front, there's almost nothing in the news today that we didn't see coming, whether we liked it or not, whether we recognized that it was just beyond stupid, beyond the pale, the kind of thing it would have been insulting to even consider that could have happened in a once-free republic only a few years ago, or that any halfway intelligent people would have even considered putting up with. But now, folks, we shake our heads in wonder, and unfortunately, That seems to be about all most Americans are capable of doing anymore. And that, too, speaks volumes. For the rest of us, make sure we know who we serve. Come out of her. Be alert. Know the times and the seasons. Don't be caught unawares. Don't be deceived. Yeah, we ultimately know how this ends. But no doubt about it, it's going to be quite a ride getting there. And may Yahuwah bless you and yours.